Can you guys hear me okay at the back? Hi. Let's see. They all waved. Why did you? Oh, because I asked if you could hear me. That's great. We need to really pray this morning for the Free Methodist Church. My heart goes out to them. And so we need to pray for them. And as well, you can pray for a meeting coming up this March 29th, where decisions will be made in regard to land, hopefully. And I wish I could give you more details, but I'm not allowed to, so I can't. But please be in prayer for this meeting on March the 29th, in which they'll be making some decisions in regard to land, hopefully for a proposal that we've put in. As well, remember Margaret Wright, who is getting a CT scan this coming Thursday. And she has to go to North Battle for that, so we'd be pray for safety and pray for her as well. And that the Lord intercedes for her. So let's just come to God in prayer, shall we? Father God, we have so many things that we can come and we can say to you, you have blessed us so abundantly, and we are so thankful, Lord, for those blessings. God, we could be here and extol you and praise you, and that's why we come. We come to praise you and extol you as Lord of this church, Lord of our lives. And Father, we praise you for caring for us enough to sacrifice your life on the cross. And Lord, we know that sacrifice is so great and so unfathomable, Lord, that we can't even comprehend what was done there. And so we praise you today, our Lord and our Savior. And Father, as we come, we praise your people. We gather together the assembly of your people to pray. And we pray, Lord, for Eileen's mom, Lillian. We pray for her hip and cracked vertebrae. And God, we pray that you would heal her quickly and give to the doctors wisdom as they treat Lillian. And the same for Nathan, God. We praise you. We praise you that he had an infection and it is now home and he's doing better. And Lord, we praise you. And we pray that you'll continue to give him good health and strength. And Lord, for Seaver and Lori and for Megan, Lord, we lift them to you and we praise you for what you're doing in their lives. And God, we also pray that you'll continue to give them strength and healing. And we think of little Samantha LaRose, who's doing better. And Lord, again, we praise you for that and we extol praises to you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to strengthen them as a family and strengthen her in particular with her leg. And God, we just pray your blessing on them. We think of Margaret, who is going for the CT scan, and Father, we pray that you would just be very close to her and give her your peace and be with the doctors as they treat her to discover what is exactly happening. And Lord, we pray that you'll give her and Brian safety as they travel to North Battleford. As well, Lord, we think of the Cornerstone Free Methodist Church. And Lord, we don't know why this has occurred. But we pray, Lord, for their structure, the building, that, Father, you would may the insurance come through very quickly and may they be able to repair what is there or do what is necessary, Lord, so that they can assemble together again as your people in their own home. Father, we pray your blessing on them even today as they worship with the Covenant Church. And, Father, we pray that you'd bless them. Father, we think of this meeting coming up on March 29th, and all we can say, God, is your will to be done. It's not about us, it's about you. And so, God, we pray that your will be done in this meeting. And, Father, we just pray that we would be obedient as your people. And we surrender this March 29th to you. And, Father, we leave it with you because you know better than we do. Father, we think of those families who are grieving, the Ouellette and Williams families, and we pray that you would encourage them today. And same with Mary Warkentine and Annette Kreider, God, we pray that you would encourage them. And we also praise you, Lord, that the Muhammad family is coming. And so we pray that now as they adjust to this new land and new country that they're in, that we would be your instruments and ministers of your grace and peace to them. Lord, as well, we think of Weyerhaeuser and the employees there. And we pray that you would surround them with your peace. Lord, may they find in you a foundation of faith that is necessary. And Father, we just pray that they would understand even better who you are, and may you sort out all the details in regard to their lives. We just pray this now and commit this to you. This whole service, Lord, we want to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, this is great. What's that? Do you get a raise for doing? Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm still in shock. We are taking a journey back to the basics. And we have looked at why the Bible and why pray. And this morning we need to examine why church. And I can see we're full here today. And I don't know if you just want to hear about why church or what. It's great. I just love it. Is it warm in here? Great. You're warm. Don't fall asleep on me. We've all heard the story, we all know the story very well, about the family who is leaving the church one morning, one Sunday morning, and as they were driving away, Dad was fussing about the sermon being too long and was kind of sort of boring. And Mom said she thought that the organist played too loudly during the second hymn. And Sis, who is a music major in college, said she thought the soloist sang about a half note off key during most of her song. And Grandma said she couldn't hear very well since they were sitting toward the back. And as they pulled into the driveway, little Will, who had just listened to all this, started to think about how hard it was to see with the large hat that sat in front of him. And then he paused and he nudged his dad and he said, "But Dad, you got to admit, it was a pretty good show for a dollar." Ouch. You know the story. You know it. But to more people than we would dare admit, going to church has become kind of like watching a show. The better it is, the more it is that we enjoy it. But if we just didn't like it, or a certain portion of it, the grumbling and the complaining begins. And yet, we've got to admit, the admission price still is pretty hard to beat. You got to admit that. I want you to clear your thoughts today, this morning, and I want you to think very openly as we examine why church. I did an article for the Prince Albert Herald a number of years ago, and I actually got phone calls about it, probably the only article I ever got calls about. And in that article, I explained why people avoid church. I included a few of my own experiences, but others that, you know, I'd heard from somewhere or picked up somewhere or read somewhere. And this is what I said. You bear with me, all right? All right, tongue in cheek here, okay? Are you all okay? Are you? You're all sent laying. You know, I put in $2 this morning. Anyway, here's what I put. Someone once called me on a Sunday morning to say they were deathly ill. Oh, how unfortunate, I thought. My concern moved me to drop in to visit them that Sunday after service, and I caught him just in time, walking from the backyard with his fishing poles in hand. It was a confirmed miracle. He was rescued from the jaws of death again. Now there was Sadie's, names changed to protect the innocent, or is that the guilty? Now there was Sadie's husband, Herman. She filled me in on a Sunday morning that Herman's back was so bad. She didn't know if he would make it without being hospitalized. So that evening, walking back from the ice cream shop, two cones in hand, was Herman. It was the cool air, he said, that relieved his tense muscles. There are those who don't like crowds. For instance, that's, I think that's a reasonable excuse to avoid church. I talked to one fellow at a football game. He said how packed churches have become, there is no way he's going to be caught dead in one. Well, I confirmed to him that churches still do bury people. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw good old Elsie standing at the movie theater. She had waited in line for 2 hours to get a seat. Her problem used to be her kidneys. Apparently she must have had them healed rather quickly. There was this one Scottish fellow named Ray. He explained to me that the Scottish developed a game similar to golf simply so that they would have an excuse not to visit with the Greens instead of being in church. I can still remember the Monday morning I received a phone call from an apologetic parishioner. The explanation was so simple. "Sorry, Pastor, we would have been in church, but our water heater exploded." "How unfortunate," I said. As the conversation ensued, I discovered their water heater exploded at exactly 11:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Church begins at 11. I've always asked that question. Why church? Turn to that book in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 10 in your Bibles. And we're going to look at that question. Why church? Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Why church? I have to think long and hard about this. The church gives strength. The church gives strength. I have to tell you about my experience of church when I was young. As a child, I so enjoyed going to visit Grandma and Grandpa. I don't think it was the car ride. I mean, my older brother seemed to kind of rule the only Archie comic book that we had. And I don't think it was meeting up with my cousins and playing hide-and-go-seek when we got to Grandma and Grandpa's. I think it was the little church that stood tall in the community of Tribune, Saskatchewan. That church fascinated me. I always saw people coming and going. And often we would gather at that church to have our family reunion. Or there would be a wedding of a cousin or even a funeral of a family member. And what I saw made me aware of something so powerful. It was something that I had never seen before as a child. People from all different areas. They would get into the same room and they would sing songs and they would talk to one another and they'd find somehow the strength to make it through the week. I could overhear them talking and they would, oh, you should have seen what happened to me this week. You know, and they were talking like, and I began to understand over the years that quote, it says, there's strength in numbers. You ever hear that quote? Yeah, there's strength in numbers. Well, that little church housed so many memories for me that when we travel to the United States, I always try and figure out an excuse to go through a Tribune so I can see that little church. All the other little houses have come and gone. The trees, some of the trees have been removed. Some are grown like really tall. But that little church still stands tall. That's the church. In fact, Dr. Tony Campolo said, an important task of the church is to bless and build us up emotionally and spiritually. We are the church. We must make it into a body of believers that nurtures each of its members into the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the church. It is to be a place where we gather together to empower one another. Jesus himself is the one who ordained and commissioned the church. He knows what's best for us. See, Christ knew that we would walk through dark valleys. Christ knew we would find it difficult to press on some days. Christ knew that believers would become discouraged and may not even want to be around one another. Christ knew that believers would become doubters at times. Doubters in him. And so what did he do? Christ in Matthew chapter 16 looked at Simon Peter, the one who would deny him, and he said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Nothing can destroy the church. And that's why verse 23, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I tell you, when I gather as God's people, when we gather together and we start talking about who God is and talking about how God showed his love, how God blessed us this week, how God has walked us through the tears, has taken our tears and turned them into joy, when we gather together as his people and do that, there's strength. There's hope. How many here have ever watched nature documentaries on TV? Come on, you can admit it. It's okay. Yeah, I do. Have you ever watched lions in those shows when they just sit there and kind of sit in the grass, ready to hunt? You know, they just sit. They sit and they watch a herd of gazelles. They just sit there and they wait. Which gazelle does the lion go after? The lion waits for the one gazelle that strays from the herd. That's how the lion works his hunting. I'm not talking about hyenas, I'm talking about the lion. Satan, the enemy of the church, is not far from that same hunting tactic. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's crouched down in the bush and he's just waiting for the gazelle to come off by himself. The strength in the church. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Then the Lord will cover the whole city and its meeting places with a thick cloud each day and with a flaming fire each night. God's own glory will be like a huge tent that covers everything. It will provide shade from the heat of the sun and a place of shelter and protection from storms and rain." The gathering together helps us keep that strength. That's why we should concern ourselves when somebody's not here. We should look around. Wait a minute. So-and-so with the new hat last week isn't here today. I better give her a call. I better find out what's going on. I sure hope that the lion hasn't got a hold of her. The church has Christ as the head, and that's what I love about the church. There's strength in that. He's our defender. He is our protector. There is nothing that Christ does not do that is not for our benefit. So that is why, church, he has done this. He has instituted this simply for our benefit. It is the place Christ has instructed and he has instituted. Christ established a place of strength. Why? Because Christ knew that we would find it difficult in this world. Christ knows that each day can bring heartache, it can bring frustration, it can bring depression, it can bring sadness, it can bring overwhelming turmoil. A day can bring tragedy because the lion is in the bush just waiting. There is nothing more necessary than the church for the gathering of God's people for strength. The church is the place where people, just like us, gather to worship the head, Jesus Christ, and renew our passion together so that we can face the world once again tomorrow. And the Hebrew writer understood this. That's why he put this down. And I'm going to read it from the message because I want you to hear this. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He, that is God, always keeps his word. Always. That's why, church. It's interesting to note that the early Christians had things in common with one another. They were together, and but they weren't like a bag of marbles. You know, have you ever had a bag of marbles? You know, I always talk about marbles. Maybe I am losing my marbles, but you know, they clang together. You know, they bang, 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 bang. You shoot them at each other, and you know, it's not like marbles. The church is more like a cluster of grapes. You know, they're so good. They're so good. And you can't just stop with one. Persecution pushed the early church together. They found strength when they were together. They knew that together they can make it. Isn't it nice to know that when you're struggling, when your life is in turmoil, that you can come to a place where others will give you the strength to continue to make it through the week? That's why, church. Now, that for me, there have been moments where I wondered if I could make it. And Joan says, "Wake up, you've got to preach." Those moments, while I wanted to avoid church, drew me closer to the presence of the one I required to get me through it all by coming to the gathering of God's people. That's why, church. Why church? Well, the church is solid strength, and the church is fond fellowship. Now I can read verse 24. Let us not consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Just think, if you had an advertisement like this, okay? You open up the paper and here's an ad. Come one, come all, a gathering of varied age groups with various income brackets and various ethnic backgrounds with plans to invite more to attend. Who would accept such an invitation? But the church is so varied, it's so diverse. There's nothing better than coming together. It's almost like a big wedding reception and enjoying one another. You know, wedding receptions, they're times of joy and celebration, and you enjoy them, some, not all. You've heard it said in many ways and through varied individuals who have stood up here. You've heard it said many times that the church was never meant to be a set of buildings where you come, you sit and you worship, you learn, and then you leave. In fact, Bridget Willard said this, church isn't where you meet. Church isn't a building. Church is what you do. Church is who you are. Church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. Let's not go to church. Let's be the church. Don't you love that? Let's be the church. The church is a community of believers who demonstrate genuine concern for each other. We're called to come together and genuinely love one another. We're to wake up that love that somehow got lost during the week. We're to wake up that urge and necessity to do ministry together, to do what God created us to do, to fulfill the purpose God created us for. And all of us have a purpose. And like little Johnny, he figured out his purpose early in life during church. It was after a church service. On a Sunday morning, a young boy suddenly announced to his mother, he said, Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up. So little Johnny's parents said, well, that's okay with us. But what helped you decide that? Little Johnny looked at his parents and said, well, I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, and I figure it'll be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit and listen. Created to do. There's not one person in this room who has not been created by God for something. We're to come together to motivate one another to do that purpose. We're to come together to weep when someone hurts, to care when someone requires it, to share our very lives with one another. That's why we started on the prayer room just out here off the sanctuary, and it's almost ready. In fact, it's ready. You can go in there today. Prayer room is available for you to go and pray. Talk to God. That's why, like, some of you have come to me and you've said, I'm hearing things about what is Lent and what is Ash Wednesday and what is the Passover, and you've been asking me all these questions, and that's why next Sunday I'm going to start teaching the ecclesiastical calendar. I've decided to do that after the staff got on my case. I'm sorry. I say that out loud. You want to take the water away, Kate? Or no? And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that next Sunday morning in the lounge, 10 o'clock. You can come if you want and hear about Lent and what it is and all those Advent and all that stuff. We're to come together to build up one another and learn from one another, to spur one another on, not to nitpick and complain, because the world does that so well. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So the early Christians had a closeness of fellowship that's rarely found today. They were continually devoting themselves to fellowship, not just teaching, not just the Lord's table and prayer, but fellowship. You could walk through the Bible and you could find areas where the Christians came together. We could journey further on in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It talks about sharing together the gospel. Hebrews 13:15 refers to the giving of our money as an expression of fellowship. When we truly fellowship, we give. And when we give to the needs of the assembly, we participate in fellowship. In fact, one of the biblical names of the church is the body of Christ. What a great description. I think of my body. Look at it. You know, working hands, feet, eyes. I need everything to function. Inside, I need my heart. The brain. I know what you're thinking. You have one? Every part is needed. Ephesians 4:16 describes the body as being joined together with each member supplied. On every occasion that the New Testament records a person giving his heart to Jesus Christ, the person's immediately added to the church. It always follows. Why? Fellowship. And the Apostle Paul speaks so many moments about the one another's, and our fellowship elder, John Vickers, she's put this together, the one another's, that we're being intentional about that. Christians willingly reaching out, putting their arms around each other, folding themselves in one another's lives. Isn't that the kind of place that you want to be part of? Unfortunately, as I mentioned before, many have discovered ways to avoid that kind of fellowship, because everyone has a good excuse for not attending. I mean, now, if you think about it, thanks, Kate. You need to wonder what's in this now. Oh, that's good. If you took those excuses and let's apply them to other things, you know, that we do or maybe don't do, like, let's say, like, eating, okay? List might be like this, okay? Avoiding eating. I don't eat anymore because I was forced to eat as a child. I don't eat anymore because people who eat all the time are hypocrites. They aren't really hungry. I don't eat anymore because there are so many different kinds of food. I can't decide what to eat. I don't eat anymore because I used to eat, but I got bored and stopped. I don't eat anymore because I only eat on special occasions, like Christmas and Easter. I don't eat anymore because none of my friends will eat with me. Boy. I don't eat anymore because I'll start eating when I get older. I don't eat anymore because I don't really have time to eat. I don't eat anymore because I don't believe that eating does anybody any good. It's just a crutch. Whoa. I don't eat anymore because restaurants and grocery stores are only after your money. Whoa. Giving a lame excuse for not attending church, for not getting involved in ministry. It's just as silly as giving up eating. Because the church, for the Christian, is as important as regular, balanced meals. 1 Peter 2 says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's why, church. That's why. The church is a place where you can be real and hurt and share and feel and discuss and lament and wail and rejoice and enjoy and love and be loved for who you are, not what someone else wants you to be. That's why, church. Why, church? Why, church? Because the church is solid strength. The church is fond fellowship. The church is glorifying to God. The primary purpose of the church is to glorify God. Look at verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now this verse does it for me. Always has. I mean, I know there have been those days where I've wondered why I go to church. You know, for instance, like, well, they don't have anything for me. Why should I go to church? All that will happen is that my child's going to need a drink. require a washroom break. Fuss in the back room. Why go to church? My back's going to hurt from the hard pews. The service might be longer than normal, likely boring. And my roast will burn, and then what will I eat for lunch? Why go to church? Nobody talks to me, even though I don't talk to them. Boy, what if I don't get my spot and where I always sit? What if that person that I have a problem with does start talking to me? Why go to church? Why go to church? To glorify God together. That, in a nutshell, is why we've been left on this planet. You think of it, God graciously allows breath into our lungs, a heart that beats over 100,000 times a day, and sufficient mental and physical strength to carry on. And in the process of our earthly existence, his most primary purpose for our lives is not that we become famous, not that we accumulate a pile of stuff or money, or become a powerful people pusher. Pure and simple, we exist to bring glory to his name. And in the process, he permits us a measure of success, a few joys, and benefits for our labor. But first and foremost, the church is for us to gather together as a band of people, discovering renewed strength as we glorify our Creator. What a privilege! But you have to understand that God is a jealous God. His glory is not shared, nor would we want to share it. And I encourage you from this day forward, do not allow yourself to forget the importance of what he has instituted. Quit the put-downs. Stop the complaints. Because the church is not for you. The church is for God. D.L. Moody said it this way. The difference between listening to a radio sermon and going to church is almost like the difference between calling your girl on the phone and spending an evening with her. Why church? Because this is where I want to be. And I know we get at times caught in the me without even realizing it. I remember my first church that I pastored. I had this wonderful church, youth group in the 1920s. It was great. And we were enjoying our moments. I said that to them. We were enjoying our moments together. And one Sunday, a young single mother came through the back door, walked in the door, and I tell you, everybody in that church was all over this mom. And it was almost overwhelming and overkill. But Joan, my wife, and I, we visited her that week, and she said this to me, well, I'm looking for a place where my kids will have something. You know, something just for them. And you don't have anything like that in your church. So we're not going to come. You know what she was thinking church-wise. That's why I asked her a question. I said, what do you think God wants for you? And then she said this to me. Oh, you mean I have to think about what God wants? And I said, well, I understand you need to find something for your children. Possibly you're forgetting all the grandmas and grandpas that your children just met this past Sunday morning. She still came to that church. In fact, she became involved in developing a kids program. You see what happens when we understand what church is all about? Church is the place where we glorify God. That's why church. The church is a place where we come together, his people, in unity, receiving strength in numbers so that we can carry on through the day after the fellowship we've had together. Church is that place where we come together in unity. Psalm 133 puts it well when it explains, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, that is God's people, to dwell together in unity. A very diverse group with one single commitment to glorify God only. You talk about a place that's unified with purpose. That's the church. And that's why the church. Now, I know there are those times, I mean, we're ill, or times where, or, you know, we have holidays, or times where something takes... I mean, don't... Come on. You know me. I'm not a Pharisee here, all right? There are those moments that you just can't make it. Things just don't, I mean, relatives are, I don't know what it is. But the foundation of our life needs to be the church, the coming together. The musical, I want you to close your Bibles because I want you to hear this. In the musical, Fiddler on the Roof, Sevier, the main character, is a poor, I hope I said that right, poor Jewish dairyman. He's living in Russia with his wife and his three daughters, and marriage is the hoped-for ideal for these three peasant girls, but because of their poverty, they have nothing. They have no dowry of any kind. They have absolutely nothing that they can offer to the one in which they fall in love with and want to marry. That's the way it is with the church. We have absolutely nothing to offer Christ. Yet amazingly, unbelievably, this truth reigns. Christ still wants us. He still wants to use us, even though we bring nothing. And it isn't long when you get hooked that this is one of the few involvements that you can't mess around with, that has eternal dimensions on earth, the church. That's why, church. That's why I want to conclude with such a great statement. It's a verse found in Ephesians 3, verse 21. It says this: "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Christ and his church bring glory to God. You know, it's interesting that the church is placed before Christ here in this verse. Our founder, our head, walks beside us, banking on us to bring God the glory. As we begin this morning, I request that you just take charge of your thoughts. And I'm going to ask you to do that again as we go to prayer. Let's pray. Just think for a moment. Just sit there. Take charge. Don't let anything else enter in there except you and God. I want you to just focus on who God is. What God means to you. Be your protector, defender. See the focus of everything you do, everything you say. You find some days hard. Maybe even this past week was a hard week for you. You're wondering how you can keep it going, keep it together. And ask you, maybe you need to say to yourself, ask these questions: where do I really stand regarding the church? Not this building, but God's people. Do I support the church, even in how I talk and how I pray? Do I see the utmost importance of the church to God? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you willing today to commit, maybe even to renew your passion once again, to be where God wants you to be? Maybe you need to say to him, God, I need to get back to where I need to be in your house so I can make it from week to week, day by day. If you're doing that today, talking to him that way, just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Maybe you need to take some time, even through the week. You're welcome to come and just sit in the prayer room, just you and God, and talk to him. And you're even welcome to do that this morning, to just go off there and close the door, spend some time with him. I want to tell you that God wants you to be together, unified in his spirit and his purpose. and he is well pleased. Father God, we just thank you. This is so hard when we look at the church often, God. We think of a building, we think of a denomination, we think of a church sign or how it looks. And God, we need to come away from all that and realize what the church really is. It's the people. God, today we as your people, we renew our passion, we renew our commitment to you and the things that you love and the things that you instituted for us, Lord, the commands you've given to us so that we would not go wayward, so that the lion would seek to devour us. God, keep us strong. Keep us steadfast. Lord, give us good fellowship as we glorify you in all we say and do. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and the head of the church, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.